Got your Bible, Psalms chapter 34. Psalms chapter 34, we're going to be looking at verses 15 through 19. The entitlement of this morning's message is God Cares About the Broken Pieces. You're probably wondering what's in this bag. I noticed a few of you have eyed it. Anybody noticed that? Maybe nobody even noticed I carried a bag and a hammer up here this morning. But maybe some of you have wondered what's in the bag. It could be a bag full of snakes. You don't know. And the hammer's to whack any of the snakes who try to come out before they're supposed to. You just don't know. But it's going to be a surprise. You'll see a little bit later. Brad's probably the only other person in this building who's ever been to a church like that. Okay? When I was growing up, my grandmother was Pentecostal. Remember I told you that I had one of those very Appalachian grandmothers. Okay? And that was one of her Appalachian beliefs, and thank God that I do not follow it today. But out of all of the experiences, I always like to share something funny with you. Out of all the experiences, while you turn to the book of Psalms, out of all the experiences in the past week with Heather being sick and staying in the hospital, the hardest experience I believe that I've had in a long time is going to Walmart on the first of the month. I had to go grocery shopping yesterday. And I about had a breakdown, okay, a mental breakdown. And Heather sent Hannah with me, and I didn't understand that at first. And I asked her two or three times, Hannah, why are you going to Walmart with me? Mom says you need help. Mom says you need help. Well, Hannah was right. About every aisle that I went to, there was something on the list that I could not find. And I knew I was in the right aisle, but there were so many choices. And I would call and ask what the name of the brand was and what did the bag look like and in what part of the aisle that it was. And after about an hour and a half and 14 phone calls later, I think I had everything in the list. I was able to come home and rest my mind for a little bit. But if you find your place in the reading of the Word of God, Psalms chapter 34, verses 15 through 19, let us stand together. God cares about our broken pieces. Psalms chapter 34, verses 15 through 19. Here's what the Word of God says according to the psalmist. He says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cries. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord deliver him out of them all." Let's pray, and you may be seated. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you today. Lord, we thank you that you've allowed us to come and to gather here in your house to praise you, to honor you, and to worship you, Lord. Lord, I just pray, Father, that, Lord, as we have come this morning, that you will prepare our hearts for this message, Lord. Father God, I pray if there be anybody here beneath the sound of my voice who comes with a broken heart, that, Lord, today this message will speak boldly and loudly unto their heart. That, Lord, Father, even before this message be over, that, Lord, they would come with a heart's desire that you would mend their broken pieces. And, Lord, I know that you are still in that life-changing and soul-saving business, Lord. And, Father, I pray that hearts will just be obedient to your call. Lord, I pray if maybe there's somebody here today who's never known you in the free pardon of sin, then before it be everlasting too late, that today they'll come and be saved. Lord, Father, I pray, Lord, if there's a Christian here who just needs you, Lord, who just needs to cry out unto you, that, Lord, before invitation time should even arrive, that, Lord, right now they would just begin praying diligently unto you, seeking your face and your will. Lord, you know the brokenness of our hearts and our lives. Lord, Father, I know that according to your word, that when we're broken, you want to hear our cries. And Lord, I know that you are that mighty deliverer. Lord, I pray that you use me today as a mouthpiece and as a tool and nothing more for your honor and for your glory. Lord, I pray that you preach me as a dying man unto a lost and a dying world. That Father, Lord, that you would just use me as your handiwork and your mouthpiece here today. Father, we just ask that your leadership of your Holy Spirit would come down and lead, guide, and direct every aspect of this service. For it's in your holy, precious name we pray, and ask these things. Amen. Amen. God truly does care about the broken pieces. Here in Psalms chapter 34, we see here time and time again that God really does care. He says there in verse 15, He says, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry." It says, "The face of the Lord is against them, and He cuts off those that are against us." It says, "The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers." It says that the Lord is nigh to them that are of a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, it says, but the Lord delivers them from all. This is the God that we serve. This is the Christ that we have. We have a God who truly and legitimately cares about the brokenness in our hearts. He cares about the brokenness of your marriage. He cares about the brokenness of your family. He cares about the brokenness of our churches. He even cares about the sad, broken state of our nation. When we cry out unto Him, He is a God that hears. He is a God who is nigh unto us. He is a God who has His face looking down upon us. That is the God that we serve. God is gracious, and He is good to those who love Him and seek after His will. He says there in verse 15, "The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry." The righteous. Who is this group, the righteous? He speaks here of the believers. Those who know Him. Those who have a relationship with Him. It says that He is listening. He is observing. The eyes of the Lord are there. And He hears their cries. You know, at times we may feel that like God is distant. Or we may feel that God has abandoned us. But God and His love are constant. Amen? We serve this God whose love does not alter, whose love does not change. He loves me as much today as He did 2,000 years ago. God and His Son love me as much right now as they did in the very beginning of time. That's just how great that God and His love is. And you know what? The God that I serve is never going to change. There is nothing about God today that will be different tomorrow. He's still going to love. He's still going to be on the throne. He's still going to be almighty. That is the God that we serve and we believe in. And those of us who truly believe in Him, we need to know that He is constant. And He's constant regardless of our lives. Regardless of where you're at in your relationship with Him, God is still constant. Wherever you're at in the world, God is still constant. Regardless of your condition, God is still constant. A sinner saved by the grace of God, God is still constant. A sinner who is saved but so desperately backslidden, God is still constant. Meaning that He loves you nonetheless. Amen? That is the God that we serve. In brokenness, we still have a mighty Savior who is in control. You know, there's a lot of times we just feel like the world is falling down around us. Has anybody ever been there? A few people? There's a few honest people this morning. Amen. Glad for you. Let me tell you, I've been at places in my life where it just feels like the world is falling apart. I have been in places in my life where it just feels like I cannot go any lower than I possibly am right now. As I heard one preacher put it one time, he said, "I could jump rope under a bed and never hit a slat." He said, "That's how low I got in life." Let me tell you, I have experienced those types of lows in my life. And if you've ever experienced those types of lows in your life, or maybe you're there right now, this morning, in the midst of that type of brokenness, I want you to know that there's still a Savior who is in control. And that even though it feels like your world is falling apart, Jesus is still on the throne. There's a few things about Christ that I want you to know. You know, in Christ, you and I, we can have confidence. Amen? You and I, in Jesus Christ, we can have confidence. The book of 1 John chapter 2, verse 28 says it this way. The book of 1 John chapter 2 verse 28 says it this way. And it says, "And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming." You and I in Jesus Christ, we've got confidence. Confidence in a couple of things, but especially in this. Confidence in knowing that we are indeed in Jesus Christ. You know, there's a lot of people in the world through their religious beliefs who feel like, "I've got Christ today, but I'm lost tomorrow." Or, "I've got Jesus in my heart for a while, but then he leaves." I want to tell you something. I believe with all of my heart, and the Word of God says, and I can prove it to you, that when Jesus Christ comes into our heart and our life, he is there to stay. I believe in something called a no-so salvation. I don't have to question whether or not I'm saved. You know, you might ask some people, "Are you saved?" "Well, I'm saved as long as I keep up with my good works and my good deeds, and as long as I live the life that I'm supposed to live. And if God sees fit that I be the elect, then yes, I'm saved." I don't believe that way. You ask me if I'm saved, and I'll tell you, amen. Absolutely. I know Jesus Christ as my Lord and as my Savior. In Christ, you and I can have confidence. But not only that, in Jesus Christ, we can have hope and love. Amen? In Jesus, we have hope and love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 says it this way. "In this was manifest the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." You see, through Jesus Christ, we have love. "And this was manifest, the love of God toward us. He gave His only begotten Son that He would be the propitiation of our sins." We know the love of God. We experience the love of God in Christ Jesus. But not just that. Not only do we have love, but we have hope. Amen? Hope. And what is hope? Hope is something that you hold on to. You know, as it says in Hebrews chapter 11, faith is the substance of things hoped for, but not yet seen. I've never seen Jesus Christ. I've never laid eyes on Him. But I know with all of my heart that He died on the cross for me. And I accepted Him as my Lord and as my Savior. And I know that Jesus told His disciples, He says, I go away to prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place, it'll be a place of many mansions and it'll be a place of greatness. He says, I'm going away, but I'm coming again. And I have hope in that. I have hope that my Lord and Savior, truly who is preparing a place for us, is coming again. So in Jesus Christ, in the midst of my brokenness, I can have confidence because of who He is. In Jesus Christ, in the midst of my brokenness, I can still have love because of who Christ is and because of where He's from. And I can have a hope that what He says He is doing, He is coming again. And indeed, He is going to do. But not only that, in the midst of my brokenness through Jesus Christ, you and I, we can still have victory. Victory. 1 John chapter 5, verse 5 says it this way. It says, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth in Jesus is the Son of God?" Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? What does it say there? Overcometh the world. Do you know Jesus today? Amen. If you do, be excited about it. Why? Because you've got confidence, you've got hope, you've got love, and according to this, you have victory. You have overcome the world through Jesus Christ. There is no sin that can hold you down. There is no grave that will ever have victory. Death will have no sting on you because you overcome the world because of your love for Jesus. That's what Christ does for us. We not only have a confidence, not only do we have hope and love and victory, but in Jesus Christ, even in the midst of our brokenness, we still have a deliverer. In Psalms chapter 34, where we read there, verse 17 says it this way, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivers them out of their troubles." Jesus cares about your brokenness. He gives us victory. He gives us hope and love. He gives us confidence. But even more than that, He is that deliverer. The righteous cry, those that know Him, the Lord hears them and He delivers them out of their troubles. You know, sometimes we don't understand why we go through the troubles that we do. Has anybody ever been through a trial or a tribulation or a tragedy or a loss and then in the midst of it said, I understand completely, God, thank you. Said nobody ever. Okay? Said nobody ever. In the midst of our brokenness, sometimes we just don't understand and we can't comprehend. Now, hindsight is 20/20. After it's all over and we've gained some valuable life lessons and God has strengthened us, we learn and we gain and we know so much. But in the midst of that brokenness, we just don't understand sometimes, and sometimes we just don't have the courage to say, it's God's will. It's God's purpose. It's what God has in store for me. In Christ, we have a deliverer. In Jesus Christ, we have a deliverer. And if you know Him in the midst of your troubles, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your tragedy, in your brokenness, He hears you. I don't know about you, but sometimes it's just nice to know that somebody is listening. Isn't it? My wife would really love it if I would just listen more. Amen? Not even if I comprehended it, but just acted like I was listening. She would care more, I do believe. We all just want somebody to listen sometimes. But the Lord does more than just that. He hears our cry, but then He delivers us. Amen? He delivers us out of our trouble. The first thing that I want you to gather out of this message, you think, my goodness, you just gave me A, B, C, and D. What else is there to know? Well, there's four more things that I want you to know out of this message, okay? And the first thing is this. Jesus Christ is still the name that brings change to our broken pieces. You know, a lot of times we feel and believe that there's a lot of answers to fix our brokenness. And we try a lot of different things to fix our brokenness. For some people, it's addiction. You know, for some people, it's their job. For some people, it's just centering on themselves. For some people, it's a lot of different things. I mean, the list goes on and on again and on about the coping mechanisms that we have to try to fix or make right our brokenness in our lives. Churches try to fix their brokenness a lot of times by calling a lot of different pastors. A lot of times churches will try to fix their brokenness by fighting amongst themselves or outrooting some that they feel like don't need to be there. That's not the answer to the brokenness of the church. You know, a lot of times people try to fix their marriage and their brokenness in their marriage by getting divorced and trying it with somebody else. Those are not the answers, amen? There is truly a better way to fix our brokenness. And we know that Jesus is still the name that brings change to our brokenness. Friends, family, co-workers, even fellow Christians or ourselves, we cannot fix our state of brokenness. Do you believe that? There is nothing in the world that can fix your brokenness aside from Jesus Christ. A lot of times as Christians, we want to fix our brokenness by delving further into service, don't we? I did that for years in ministry. Rather than truly fixing my brokenness, I just served more and I did more and I served more and I did more and I served more and I did more. And finally, my brokenness caught up with me and I paid dearly for it for about 3 years. We try to fix brokenness all these different ways. And if you're here today and you're broken, I want you to know that church isn't the answer to your brokenness. That this message in and of itself is not the answer to your brokenness. Jesus is the answer to your brokenness. But how do we get broken? How do we reach that state of just absolutely being destroyed? You know, for some of it's disobedience. If you want to be broken, disobedience is a good way to get there. Amen? Just simply not doing what God wants you to be doing. And you'll reach a state of brokenness really quick. Sometimes it's our adversary. We know that the Bible says that our adversary, the devil, is like a roaring lion seeking whomever that he may devour. And Satan is continually on our case. If God is doing great things in the church, Satan will be there to do everything that he can to bring about brokenness and destruction. If your marriage is going well, God will do everything that he can to bring about brokenness and destruction. Anytime anything good happens, Satan cannot stand it in the life of the church or God's people, and he'll do anything that he can to destroy it. Do not be a fool. You are never above the attacks of Satan. A lot of times you think, I'm too firmly rooted in Jesus. Yeah, boy, I believe that one. Eventually, Satan, in any way that he can, and because we're weak-minded humans, will fall into the snare more often than not. Sometimes it's our very own sinful nature that takes us down. Romans chapter 3, verses 10, 11, and 12 say it this way. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Look at verse 10 just one more time. I want to show you the very first thing that verse 10 said there. It says, as it is written, there is none righteous. What did he say there in Psalms chapter 34? What does that repeat saying that we hear? The righteous. The cry of the righteous. He looks upon the righteous. The righteous. Those that know God. And here it says, there is none that is righteous. Not one person in this world is righteous. So we gain this reality that there's none of us who is righteous, but only through Jesus. Amen? No other name under heaven for by which you must be saved. No other name. Jesus is still the name that brings about healing to broken pieces. Jesus makes a difference. In 1 John chapter 1, verses 7, 8, and 9. 1 John chapter 1, verses 7, 8, and 9. He says it this way. He says, but if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Jesus makes the difference, amen? Jesus is the one who cleanses us from all of our unrighteousness. None who is righteous, no, not one. But here John gives us this hope that if we confess our sins and we're faithful, that He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteous and make us one of the righteousness of God. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says this. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sin of the whole world. Gosh, look at that word, the propitiation of our sins. What does that mean? It means that Jesus is literally the stand-in. Kind of like that stunt double, you know, you have the high-paid actor, and then they have that high-action scene, and the director says cut, and they take out the high-end actor, and they put in the stunt double. And then the stunt double takes all the hard hits, and then they say cut, and then they bring back in the high-paid actor, and it just it looks like they're smelling like a rose. It's not that much different. Here is sinful, unrighteous man who is unrighteous and so in need of righteousness. So God sends His only begotten Son into the world to die on a cross so that literally Jesus Christ becomes the stand-in for our sin and our unrighteousness. And He takes all of that for you and for I. You cannot tell me that Jesus doesn't make a difference. Jesus is that name that has power. Jesus is that name that can still heal. Jesus is that name that brings about righteousness through Him. Jesus truly is that name that heals nations and lands and families and marriages. And all of those things, Jesus is the name. If you're here and in a state of brokenness, the only name that you need today is Jesus. You don't need me. You don't need my message. You don't need my advice. You don't need anybody sitting next to you. If you want to get out of your brokenness, you need Jesus. Amen? But the problem is that we just like hanging on to that brokenness, do we not? Or we get into this state of feeling like that nobody cares about our brokenness. Well, I want you to know that's the second thing out of this message that you need to take home is not only that Jesus has a name that changes our broken pieces, but Jesus truly is the name that cares about our broken pieces. In Psalms chapter 34, verses 15, verse 4, and verse 17, I want to pick those back out and read those for you again. Psalms chapter 34, in verse 15, it says it this way. It says, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. Now look at what it says in verse 4. It says, I sought the Lord, and He heard me, and He delivers me from all of my fears. Now look at what it says in verse 17. It says, the righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and deliver them out of all of their troubles. In those three verses, three times in Psalms chapter 34, what does the Word of God say about Him? It says He hears. He hears. Sometimes in brokenness, all we want to know is that somebody cares. And I want you to know that I care. I can care because I've been there. And I can relate to you. Truly, I can relate and I can understand. But even more than my caring, you need to know that God hears you. So here's my words of encouragement to you. Just cry out to God. Just tell Him how you feel. In the midst of brokenness, I guess sometimes we just feel like that nobody cares. Why should God care? Or I'm here because of my own doing. Why would God want to hear from me? Regardless of what you've done to get you to brokenness, God still cares, and God is still listening, and God wants to know. We're so mistaken when we say God doesn't want to know or God doesn't care. At times we think that no one cares. At times we feel like no one loves me. At times we feel like no one wants to listen. You know, in my job as a deputy, one of the unfortunate things that sheriff's offices are taxed with doing by law is we have to execute and serve all the mental health warrants. If you don't know what a mental health warrant is, good. Good for you. It's something you never want to have to experience in your life. But a mental health warrant is something where a family member can come and get a warrant of protective custody for their family members because they're a danger to themselves or other people. The saddest, saddest job that I have is probably, that's probably right up there at the top. Because I see people who truly feel like no one loves me, No one cares about me. No one's listening. And I just don't want to be here anymore. Why do I want to be here? If nobody loves me enough to listen, if nobody loves me enough to care, if nobody's there for me, why do I want to be here? I see people who have literally lost their hope in each other, in mankind, but they've even lost their hope in God. Above all, if you feel like nobody else cares and nobody loves you and nobody's listening, know this, God is listening. God loves you and God cares. That's just the God that we serve. That's how great that He really is. The truth is, Jesus already knows all about your brokenness and He still hears your cries. Even though God knows all about your brokenness, He still wants to hear your cries. You know that? Do you realize that? God knows everything about you, even the hairs on your head. But He still wants to hear about your brokenness from you. He still wants to hear that cry from you. He still wants to know your thoughts from you. The third thing I want you to see about this message and our brokenness is this, is that Jesus truly is the one to restore. To restore our broken pieces. We know that Jesus is the name that makes changes, and we know that He cares, but do you really know that Jesus is the only one who can restore our broken pieces? Jesus can heal our families. He can heal our friends. He can heal our health. And He can even restore our soul. That's how great that Jesus really is. Psalms chapter 34, verse 22 says it this way. It says, "The Lord redeemeth the soul of His servants." He redeemeth, He restores the soul of His servants. And none of them that trust in Him shall be desolate. If you know God, you're never going to be desolate. If you know God, He is the Redeemer of those who know Him. Jesus is the Redeemer. He is the one who makes us better than we can ever imagine. He makes us like something that we couldn't even begin to fathom. The best that you can possibly do is not good enough in the eyes of God. Now that some of you have tuned out, we'll break into the bag and the hammer. Is everybody excited? Is anybody scared? I don't know. So what's in the bag? Don't make fun of my man purse, by the way. It's kind of all I had. Heather and I started this project last night. It was one that I've done years ago, and it's probably one that you will never forget. We talk about brokenness and broken pieces and how it happens, why it happens, what it means, and what the purpose and the point of it is. And to illustrate kind of my last point of the day, we'll do it this way. Does anybody notice anything funny about this piece? That one? What is it? It's a coffee cup. Yes, it is a coffee cup. All three of these coffee cups are going to be identical. But do you notice anything different about that coffee cup versus that coffee cup? One doesn't have a handle. Oh, I'm sorry. We'll get them all turned around there. Versus that coffee cup. From a distance, this one looks okay, right? From a distance. Don't get too close to it, all right? Trust me, you don't want to drink anything out of this one. Why? Because this one has been broken. Last night, I broke it and I shattered it with my blacksmith hammer, and then Heather and I sat down at the coffee table, the kitchen table, and we glued it back together with super glue. And it looks all right from a distance, But I promise you, if you put this in a microwave and heat it up with something in it, it's just going to fall apart, or you're going to get some kind of toxic shock syndrome. All right? It looks okay from a distance, but I'm not 100% for sure if it'll even hold water. Because you know what? Sometimes when things get broken, sometimes the pieces are broken so bad that you can't even put them back together right. You know, where there's that little tiny piece that you can't even begin to find. So oftentimes that's how we like to deal with our brokenness. So how do we get broken? How do we reach that state? It's from a lot of different things. You know, it's from sin. It's because we're disobedient to God. It's because we don't care. It's because we have a rebellious streak in it. Or it's just because we have to endure some trials in life. But a lot of times brokenness happens for a lot of different reasons. But this is how we end up. We end up completely broken and shattered. And as you can hear, that coffee cup's no good no more, right? It's in a bunch of little pieces. But this is how we end up. It's broke, yeah. Oh, yeah, it's broke. Don't worry, it was only 88 cents at Walmart, though. It's okay. But we can handle our brokenness in a lot of different ways. A lot of times as people, we like to take our brokenness and just carry it around, do we not? We like to take our brokenness, we like to sweep up all the pieces, and we just kind of wear it around. You know, nobody loves me, nobody cares about me, but I'll just carry around my brokenness. Some of us like to deal with it in a lot of different ways, maybe through addiction. Some of us like to deal with our personal problems through family or through friends, or we think if I delve myself enough into service, I'll be okay. And some of us are even capable enough to get back to looking like this. On the outside, we kind of look okay. But now if you get real close to this, looks pretty rough, doesn't it? Kind of looks like when you were a kid and your parents were asleep and you broke something and you got out the super glue and you glued it back together and you set it back on the shelf hoping they would never find it again. Did anybody ever do that? I was the only one. A few people. All right, if you're honest. And then they get up the next day and they're like, well, what's wrong with that? Something doesn't, I don't know, Mom. I tell you what, I have no clue. This is what a lot of us try to do. Okay? We try to make ourselves look okay. But if we try to really put anything of value in that, whether it be coffee, orange juice, doesn't matter, eventually that thing is just going to fall apart. And you know what? It might be the testament of our super glue, but with any real stress at all, that's pretty good super glue. Oh, I don't know. That might be a bad sermon. Oh, there we go. It finally come apart. Eventually that's what's going to happen. Oh, no, I know. It's not very good super glue, but that was the point of the illustration. So eventually, it all falls apart. With enough stress, with enough heat, with enough trials in life, it all falls apart. So how do we get from this being in complete shambles, in a total state of brokenness? How do we get from that to being like this? You see, this is whole. This is just like the original product. I can put coffee in it, I can stick it in the microwave, I can do whatever, and it's going to hold up, it's going to endure, it's going to last. So we try to take the super glue and make our lives better again. But how do we truly go from this to being whole again? How do we truly make our lives right? It's through Jesus Christ. And I want you to know this about Jesus. He truly is the restorer of our broken pieces. But if you want to be successful in mending your broken pieces and making them right again, it takes this. If you want Jesus to mend your broken pieces, you got to give them to Him. Amen? You got to give them to Him. You see, a lot of times in life, we get this state of brokenness and things are bad and things are terrible and we're just so distraught, and then we're finally like, yeah, I've got to give this all to God. So we have all of our broken pieces and we're carrying all these broken pieces around and we're going to give them to God. So we come up here and we lay them all at the altar and say, God, here they are, and we get done and we get ready to leave. But watch this. We take all of our broken pieces back with us. We put them back in the sack and we walk right out of here just as broken as we were when we come in and we laid them at the altar. Why? Because we have this real bad problem with thinking I can fix myself. and I can make things right. When what we really need to do is bring the broken pieces and lay them on the altar and leave them there at the feet of Jesus and say, God, here they are. I'm broken and I can't do anything about it. Maybe it's confessing unconfessed sin. Maybe it's saying, God, I desperately need you to move in my family. Maybe it's you just coming and rededicating your life to Christ. I don't know what it is for you personally, but I know we're all in different states of brokenness because we're all damaged goods. But if you've not heard anything this morning, if you want to be right with God, you've got to bring it to God and you've got to lay it at the feet of Jesus and say, Lord, here it is, because I can't do anything with it. You can pick up those broken pieces and you can try to put them back together, but you're just going to be like that mug over there that looks okay on the outside, but as soon as you put any stress, it just falls apart. What do you want to do today? How's God working in your heart? How's God moving in your life? As Tim and as Diane come, they prepare for our hymn of invitation. If you're here today and you're broken and you're undone, I want you to come with your broken pieces and I want you to lay them at the feet of Jesus and say, God, here they are. And just leave them there. Don't come and don't pray and then pick up all your burdens and walk back out of here with them. Just say, Lord, here they are, and leave them. Don't come back 2 weeks later and try to pick them up again just because God hasn't moved in the time frame that you want. Leave the pieces where they need to be at the feet of Jesus, because His name is a name that restores. His name is a name of power. His name is a name that brings about change. His name is a name that brings about healing. And He hears the cry of the righteous. And those that trust in Him shall never be desolate. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, we thank You for today. Lord, we thank You for the opportunity that You've given us to be here. Well, Father God, Lord, I just pray that if there's somebody beneath the sound of my voice who's lost and undone, Lord, may they come right now, giving their heart and their life to You, may they be saved. Lord, Father, I pray if there's somebody here who is broken, and Lord, I've been there many times, that they will be willing to come, Lord, and bring their broken pieces and just give them to You, just to say, Lord, here they are. Father God, I pray if there's somebody here who has that unconfessed sin in their heart and their life, Lord, I pray that they'll be obedient to You, Lord. Father God, I pray for our church that You just grow us, that You mold us and make us into the church You would have us to be. Lord, I pray that You restore us as a body of believers. And Lord, I know that over time Buena Vista has been broken. But Lord, we're trusting in You to restore us and to make us whole once again. That nothing I would do or that anybody else would do trying to mend us together would work, Lord. But we just give it all to You. It's in Your holy precious name we pray and ask these things. Amen.